Thank you for listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you're richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org. Now, here's Pastor Jim Cruz.
What's up, everybody? You know it's going to be a good message when I'm bringing out the Elvis mic. Yeah. My name is Pastor Jim Cruz. I lead our Thousand Oaks campus. It's good to be back with you guys again tonight. Are you guys having a good New Year so far? I haven't seen you in a couple months, so I'm just checking on you. Would you just knuckle bump your neighbor and say, I'm so grateful that you are here tonight? Can you just encourage somebody around you and just declare that over their life? You know, I like to say a lot, you guys that have been here before, you guys are front row, man. This is way to go. I've said this before. I said, showing up is half the battle. So I don't know how many of you guys struggled to get here tonight, but you showed up. And I think it's pretty awesome. So if showing up is half the battle and you showed up, that tells me that you're halfway to your victory. Come on, somebody. All right. So as you saw in that video, I am a Star Wars nerd. Anybody else love Star Wars here? Okay. Go ahead and tell your neighbor what your favorite episode is. Go ahead and tell them. I think mine is probably Revenge of the Sith, probably. I don't know. That's a good one, where Anakin becomes Darth Vader. But hey, I love this concept because some of you that made New Year's resolutions, I love New Year's resolutions. I'm more into what is your word for the year? How many have done that before? Just like, instead of New Year's resolutions, what is your word for the year? And I know we're like heading out of the first month already, but it's not too late to come up with the word. You know what I do every year around the end of the year? I pray and I ask the Holy Spirit to give me my word. And this year, my word was consistency. And there were some things that I know God was speaking to me about, and I need to be consistent. I'm consistent in writing a book, and I'm hoping to finish that book this year. It's going to be so cool to finally see something God's been laying on my heart for the last several years to get finished. But consistency is my word, and I don't know what it is for you, what your word is, but I encourage you, pray over it. But as I'm thinking about like moving into this new year, we have all of these hopes and dreams about things that we're going to be able to accomplish this year. And some of us, we're just tired of the person that we've been. Anyone there? I don't want to be that guy. I don't want to be that gal anymore. I want something new. And so with our best efforts, we try to become somebody new. But what I've discovered, you guys, as a not just a pastor, but as a follower of Jesus for all of these years that I've been following Jesus, this isn't about behavior modification here, all right? This isn't about if you have enough willpower, you're going to change your behavior, because I've learned a spiritual concept that it's not about changing the way you live as much as it's about changing the way you think. So when I talk about mind wars, I'm talking about the greatest battle that you are facing every day in your life. And that is the battle in your mind. How many know, without a pastor having to tell, how many know that there's a war going on between your ears? It's warfare. There's all kinds of crazy things going on and fights that are happening, conflict that's taking place. And here's what we've learned from science over the last couple decades. In the whole neurology and study of the brain is we've learned that in our brain, there are these things called neural pathways, you guys. And so when you think a thought, it creates this little pathway between two neurons. It actually fires up. It's a really cool light show that's happening in your brain. So when you think of a thought for the first time, it lights up this path. And what happens is when you think that thought again, it creates an even deeper trench. It's kind of like if you guys have ever been on a hiking trail, if you've ever been somewhere where a lot of people have had a lot of foot traffic in the same pathway, you can tell without even having to have a sign to point out that a trail is a certain place because there's been so much foot traffic that the path has been determined. Like there's no grass growing there. It's a clear path. And so when you have a repetitious thought over and over and over again, you create this pathway in your brain. And so once you have this groove, this path that is established, it's hard to get out of that path. Every time you have a thought, it's going to try to veer into that groove again. And so what I hope that we're going to talk about tonight and I'm going to accomplish before we need to dismiss is I'm hoping to give you the keys to creating a new groove in your life. And this is what Mind Wars is all about. So in order to do this, let's take a thought audit, all right? So this is like an inventory of thinking about your thoughts. Now, I know you didn't come to church to think about your thoughts, but in order for us to really make a statement and win the war, not just deal with the war in our mind, but to win the war in our mind and make sure that God has all of us, including our mind, that let's take a thought audit. Let's look at this. Now, I don't know if you guys have that. Okay, perfect. Man, this is such a big screen. I love it. Okay, so we're gonna take three different categories. So one is on the first one is like you have a lot of thoughts that are focused on worry. You worry a lot. And the opposite side of the spectrum is that you have a lot of thoughts about peace. You're a peaceful person. There's a lot of things in your mind that are just thinking about peace and serenity and calmness. So what I want you to do right now, maybe on your iPhone, on your notepad, or maybe you have a piece of paper, I just want you to give yourself a score. Don't worry, you don't have to share your number with your neighbor, okay? You can if you want to, but give yourself a number score on that. Where are you at on that spectrum? Are you tending to lean towards being a worrier, or are your thoughts more filled with peace? Now here's the second one is negative thoughts versus positive thoughts. So if you tend to be a negative thought driven person, you lean towards the negative, that would be the one. And a more positive person, you have a lot more positive, you know, where am I optimist at? You're just an optimistic prayer. Give me a wave, say, hey, you know, you should be really excited, right? You're the optimist. Where am I pessimist at? You're just like, give me a wave. You don't want to wave to me. Okay. So give yourself a score. Where are you at on that spectrum of negative, positive? Now let's go to the last one. Now I got to explain the last one because it might go over some of your heads, but worldly versus eternal. A worldly mindset, a worldly like thought process is where you're just focused on the now. You're focused on what could make your life better, what is happening in your life, and all the stuff involving like your existence on planet Earth, all of your stuff. That could be money, that could be your career, that could be your education, that could be your family and all the things that are going on with your family. And then the eternal is like heaven and how this world is impacting your eternity and thinking about like what God is doing in your life and thinking about how God is using you in ways for your life or for your family. So that's eternal. So give yourself a score. Remember, you're thinking about your thoughts. This is a thought audit. Not about what you're doing, but what you're thinking. So does everyone have a score? Okay, now what I want to show you in this thought audit is that God has a way for us to live. But in order for us to live that way, we have to start thinking a different kind of way. So can you imagine the life that you would produce if your thoughts were more peaceful, if your thoughts were more positive, and your thoughts were more eternal? Since here's the concept. Your life, listen to me, lean into this. Your life is always moving in the direction of your strongest thoughts. So if you think about your thoughts, then as you are moving your thoughts more towards God, more towards the things of God, then your life is going to start reflecting that. Your lifestyle is going to start swinging in the direction of your strongest thoughts. And scripture backs me up on this. And let me take you to a key verse found in the book of Romans chapter 12, verse 2. It says, do not conform to the what, church? To the pattern of this world. Interesting fun fact, do you know in neuroscience, they actually use, for talking about neural pathways, they use the word patterns. So interesting. Do not be conformed to the neural pathways of this world, but be transformed by the what, church? By the renewing. Now, some other translations use the word renovating. This is like there's a renovation going on, but the renovation is happening in your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. So let's think about that. Do not be conformed to the neural pathways of this world, but be transformed by the renewing or the renovating of your mind. So God is trying to get us to think a different way. And as we start thinking a different way, then our life is going to be transformed. Are you tracking with me, VBF? Okay, so as you think about this, science has now proven in the last couple decades what the Bible has been telling us for thousands of years. And even before Paul writes this in Romans, listen to how Solomon writes this proverb in Proverbs 23, verse 7 from the New King James Version. It says, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. So the wisdom of Solomon is giving us this profound idea that the way you think determines the way you live. So here's what I've discovered, you guys, that I think is the secret sauce to start how to start thinking different kind of thoughts. Now, there are a couple people, not people, I should say, a couple entities that are at war in your mind. Here's one. He's the inner critic, or her. She is the inner critic of your life. That we all have a voice in our thoughts of this inner critic. Now, this inner critic could have risen up because of some third grader that went to school with you. I'm convinced, you guys, the meanest people on the planet are third graders. I'm convinced of it. They're mean. You know, a lot of times they're not trying to be a bully. They're just being, you know, brutally honest and not aware that they may be hurting people's feelings. But some of you, let's be real, some of you carry on repeat, like a broken record in your mind, a mean thing somebody said about your life decades ago, and it still haunts you. That would fall into the category of an inner critic in your mind, a voice that is stepping up to a microphone in your mind that's telling you things about you. Those things may not be true at all. Matter of fact, I would probably bet that they're not true at all. And it doesn't even have to be a mean third grader. It could just be the way you were raised. Anybody have a parent that was very critical of you growing up, and you would get a 98 on your test, and instead of celebrating your 98, they said, why didn't you get 100? And even though, like, some of you are parents, like, I would never do that to my kid. There are parents in this world that have done that to their kids. And then they grow up, and then they have this complex, like, I'm never good enough. I'm never enough, and no matter what category of life is. And so this inner critic steps up to the mic of our mind and says, that's not good enough. You're never good enough. Why even try? Why even bother? And so a lot of us are hearing this voice canceling us because we're not good enough. The inner critic could be culture. It just, you know, the comparison culture that we are living in, you guys, is real. And some of you that are on social media, you know what I'm talking about. And you could be having a great day, and then you go on your Instagram feed, and then somebody is posting about their vacation, and then you're sitting there going, I've never been there. How come they get to go there and I don't go there? And now all of a sudden this inner critic's like, you know, you're never going to be able to do anything. And this jealousy thing comes up, and this inner critic is trying to mess with your mind and wreak havoc in your life. But then there's another entity that's very real. Matter of fact, I just did a podcast with Pastor Ron today and Josh and Vince that will air next week on the Off the Mountain podcast, talking about spiritual warfare. There's an enemy of your soul. Just like there's an inner critic of your life, there's an enemy of your soul. The Bible identifies him as Satan. The Bible also calls him the devil. And he's real, and he could come in just like we were talking this last week at Atmosphere at our church in Thousand Oaks. We were talking about this, that think about Jesus was the Son of God, and he had a mind war himself with the devil. As he was fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, the devil came on scene and brought some temptation. Now, when we read a narrative like that, we automatically project like, oh, there's this like devil guy walking next to Jesus in the wilderness. I don't think that's how it went down. I think it's more reasonable to believe that Jesus was walking in the wilderness and the enemy of his soul was coming after him in his mind. I believe these were thought bubbles. And one of the reasons I believe these are thought bubbles is because there's another issue where Peter is talking with Jesus, and Jesus had just finished telling all his disciples like, hey, you guys, I'm going to be arrested. They're going to kill me. But don't worry about it because I'm coming back. And he's telling them the whole story of how God's redemption story is supposed to work. And Peter had wanted nothing to do with that story. So he thought he was doing something righteous. And he stepped up to Jesus and he said, that's not going to happen. Not on my watch. That will never happen. And Jesus looks at Peter, his BFF, his top disciple, and he says, get behind me, Satan. Think about that, church. It wasn't that Satan was manifesting in Peter, but Peter had spoken words that were hitting Jesus' mind, and Jesus smelled the devil in a thought and said, get behind me, Satan. So you guys have to understand that even godly people struggle with mind wars. Even the most godly person in this room, I pray every day, I fast, I read my Bible, I go to church, I serve. You can still be battling in your mind. And that's why we want to talk about this. So you got the enemy of your soul stepping up to a mic in your mind, and he's trying to deceive you. And the deception happens by distortion. See, when the enemy of your soul comes in your life, he doesn't necessarily have to tell you a lie. He can just distort God's truth. And the distortion creates a deception, and then pretty soon you're buying into a lie, just as Eve did in the garden that kicked both Adam and Eve out of the garden because she was deceived by distortion. All because the enemy of their soul had a mic in their mind in the form of a serpent and was getting them off track from what God wanted them to do. So you don't just step out and sin. Before you sin, there's a thought to sin. Are you tracking with me? There's a thought that starts crossing your mind that you start entertaining it. And the enemy of your soul typically shows up in your life and says, hey, nobody's gonna know. Like, hey, you deserve this. You worked really hard for this. Like, hey, don't worry about it. You know, this is God is going to cover you with his grace. Just go ahead and step out. And then once you do something that this enemy of your soul wants you to do, and then he turns his voice in your mind and says, everyone's going to know what you did. How dare you? You should be so full of shame that you don't even go to church anymore. Don't you open your Bible. You're a hypocrite. And am I the only one that's ever happened to? You guys are quiet on me out there. And I'm actually talking to this thing like it's a real microphone. But I want to tell you that there's a third option. There's a third voice available to you. And this voice can speak so loud that even when the inner critic wants to step up to the mic, even when the enemy of your soul wants to step up to the mic, it's not going to happen. Because when God's voice shows up in your mind, he redirects your thoughts. That's how it works. So it's not like you're in your mind going, get out of my head, get out of my head. People are going to think you're crazy. All right? It's a matter of you saying, okay, God, there's one mic in my mind. So imagine in your mind, it's open mic every night. There's open mic night every night happening in your mind. So here's what you need to do. You need to recognize that you are the stage manager of your mind. And you are the one that controls who has the mic. This is how it operates. So if there is a voice that you don't like, then it's not a matter of like, you get off the mic. No, as the stage manager of the mic in your mind, you simply say, God, you have the mic. This is your time. And this is where the pattern, you guys, listen. This is where the pattern of prayer is vitally, essentially important for you to produce the kind of life, not only that you want to produce, but more importantly, God wants you to produce in your life. We talked about the patterns. Remember the neural pathways that happen in your mind. See, when you start praying, you're creating a new neural pathway. You're creating a new pattern. And this pattern is allowing you to think more intently about God. Because I think a lot of times when you hear prayer, maybe, you know, in your mind, prayer is just like where you, you know, lay down beside, you know, your bed, and you get down, you're kneeling, like, you know, tonight I lay me down to my soul to sleep. You know that prayer. If I die before I wake, I pray thee, Lord, my soul to take. That's a terrible prayer to pray over your kids, by the way. All right. But it's like we have these weird ideas of what prayer is. And prayer, think about this, church. Prayer is simply having a one-on-one with God. That's it. You're coming before Almighty God, and you're saying, God, I'm just here. I'm here to hear what you have to say, and I'm here to share the things that are heavy on my heart. I tell people all the time, prayer is not a monologue. Prayer is a dialogue. It's where you speak, but you also give room for God to speak. And when you are praying this kind of way, God steps up to the mic in your mind, and he has something radical and life-changing to say to you. And the more your thoughts are hearing from the voice of God, guess what, church? The more you start living for God. Let me give you a scripture. Romans chapter 8. Let's go there. Romans chapter 8, verses 5 and 6. Paul, matter of fact, if you're not really familiar with the Bible, this is probably one of the richest chapters in the entire Bible right here, chapter 8. It says, those who live following their sinful selves think only about things that their sinful selves want. But those who live following the Spirit, that's capital S, the Holy Spirit, are thinking about things the Spirit wants them to do. Okay, you're following the Spirit, and so you're thinking about the things that the Spirit wants you to do. If people's thinking is controlled by the sinful self, there is what, church? There's death. So if you're thinking about your sinful self, if you are following the pattern of this world, the neural pathways of this world, it says there is death. But if their thinking is controlled by the Spirit of God has the mic in your mind. If the thinking is controlled by the Spirit, there is what, church? Life and peace. How many would love some more life and peace in your life? Sign me up for that. Where do I sign? Well, it's real simple. What this scripture is telling us, and the NIV, by the way, in that same passage, uses the word govern. And I like that word too. The mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. So when the Spirit of God is on the mic, what's happening is that you are being filled with life and peace. So as you are thinking about your thoughts, and you're like, man, I want more life and peace in my thoughts, then it's going to happen as you allow the Spirit to take control of your mind. Now, I just read this fact the other day, and it's interesting that the average person has, check this out, 40,000 negative thoughts cross their mind every day. That's a lot. It's a lot of negativity. And we project a lot of that negativity onto people's conversations. Some of you, can I give you a word tonight? Some of you have relationship drama and has nothing to do with the other party and what they said to you. It's how you process what they said through your, what I call, stinking thinking. Who's that for tonight? They're like over there going, what did I do? What did I say? You know what you said. Actually, I don't. I really don't know what I said, because I know what I said, but I don't know what you heard. Because see, as you have this thinking and these neural pathways, you can hear something and it gets processed through some weird broken filter, and then your thoughts receive it in a totally different way. This could be something, you know, somebody says to you and says, I'm so happy for you. And they go on and then you think like, what is that comment? They're super jealous of me. They're like, I can't believe them. Like, how dare they say that they're happy for me? Like, where do they come off? And then pretty soon you're like mad and you're like, I'm going to unfriend them and unfollow them because that was just rude. And they were just genuinely happy for you. Are you with me, church? Do you see the mind war that's going on? And God says, hey, let me on the mic. You let me on the mic, that stuff's going to go away. That's going to be replaced. Look at this, church. It's going to be replaced by life and peace. That's what it's going to be replaced by. So God is wanting to redirect your thoughts. And one of the biggest ways that you're going to renew your mind is by redirecting your thoughts by the pattern of prayer in your life. Now, I got a few more minutes, and I just want to use Jesus as an example. By the way, so excited, I just have to just brag about this, okay? I went to the Chosen season 4 premiere in Hollywood last Wednesday. It was so fun. Guys, I met Jesus, all right. I'm just going to say that. And I keep talking on the mic like it's real. All right. So Luke chapter 11, Jesus is, he's not only our Savior, you guys, he's our example. He's trying to give us a pattern saying, hey, if you want new neural pathways, if you want to start thinking different thoughts so that you can start living a different kind of way, then you have to look at not only my life, but the pattern on how I lived my life. And Jesus gives us this pattern in Luke 11, verse 1. It says, now Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to the Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples. So there was this pattern of prayer that the disciples witnessed in Jesus' life. And it's not like the disciples never saw anybody pray. I mean, they grew up as devout Jewish men. So they knew about prayer. They learned the law. They knew the law. But they knew that Jesus prayed in a different kind of way. And they're like, teach us to pray like that. Because John the Baptist taught his disciples to pray like him. But you teach us how to pray like you, because when you pray, we see stuff happen. We see miracles take place. We see the sick healed. We see the dead get their life again. Teach us to pray like that. So that's what Jesus does. He goes in and he tells them what we now call the Lord's Prayer. You can read about that also in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6, where you learn about the Lord's Prayer. But I want to take you to Mark chapter 1, and we're in that in our daily reading plan. In Mark chapter 1, it says, "And the whole city was gathered together at the door of Capernaum, and he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. And rising very early in the morning while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him, and they found him and said to him, 'Everyone is looking for you.' And Jesus said to them, 'Let us go to the next town that I may preach there also, for that is why I came out.' And he went throughout all of Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and casting out demons." So what we see in Mark chapter 1 is revival taking place in Capernaum. Like, he just opened up this house and said, "Yeah, I'm going to preach, and then I'm going to pray for the sick." So if any person had a disease in that town, they're like bringing them, like, "Hey, let Jesus go touch you." So the whole town, the Gospel of Mark has kind of given us this picture, like the whole town is there to just be able to get this miracle from Jesus. And Jesus, probably exhausted — I feel so exhausted and drained after a Sunday of just three gatherings in Thousand Oaks. And I can't imagine, like, praying and doing deliverance ministry until, I don't know what time, like maybe 2 a.m. And then it says, before the sun was up, Jesus was out praying. Before this, we're talking dark 30, right? We're talking early in the morning. Some of you guys get up that early and you go to work, and you know, it makes for a long day the earlier you get up in the morning. And Jesus, maybe this is like, I don't know, 4:30, 5. He's up. He's doing business with God. And then check this out. As he's meeting with God, the Spirit is now on the microphone, saying, "Jesus, today we're going to go to a different town, and there's going to be another demon-possessed guy, and you're going to cast the demon out, and then there's going to be revival in that town." Because if I were to be like Jesus's personal assistant, which I would make a terrible one, but if I were, I would say, "Hey, Jesus, like, last night was crazy. Like, we are going to be able to do this for like 30 days. Like, this is insane. This is so awesome. Like, God is moving. We're going to do this." And Jesus goes to the Father, and the Spirit directs him to leave to go to the next town. There are things that God is going to show you in prayer that are not going to make sense in the natural. Everything in the natural is like, this is what you ought to do. But then you start praying, and then God starts saying some things, guess where? Through your thoughts. You start getting new ideas. And when you're in prayer and you get an idea, I call that a revelation. Hello, somebody. So some of you, you've been getting revelations from God, and you just thought it was some crazy thought bubble. Like, that was weird. Must have been the Taco Bell I ate last night. No. You are praying, and God is speaking. And so I'm not saying everything you hear while you're in your prayer closet is a revelation from heaven. I've had some thoughts, and a lot of times you'll know it's a revelation from heaven. And by the way, heavenly revelations, I call them heavy revies, because that's just, it's cool. So you know it's a heavy revy when you're sitting and you get a thought, and then you leave and you go to work and somebody texts you exactly what you heard while you were praying. You're like, "Whoa, that's kind of a weird coincidence." And then later on, maybe at work, you know, you open your Bible during break and you open the Bible and you turn to a verse that says the exact thing that you heard while you were praying that day. Now this is like a second coincidence. Interesting. Then you go to church and then the pastor is speaking and he says it again to you. Now you know this is not a coincidence. This is now a God incident. This is God trying to get through to you saying, hey, I've got something for you here. And this is the mic. And now God is speaking loudly in your thoughts. And guess what? The more you're listening to God, the less likely you will listen to the inner critic of your life and the enemy of your soul. So do you see, are you tracking with me? So for those of you that are like, oh, I don't know. I know I should pray, but I don't know. I don't think about it. I don't think about prayer. Well, you ought to, because the more you're thinking about prayer, the less you're going to be thinking about porn. The more you're thinking about prayer, the less you're going to be thinking about your addiction, your drugs, your alcohol. The more you're thinking about prayer, the less you're going to be thinking about all of this stuff that is actually going to hurt you and destroy you and potentially kill you. So as we think about this mind war, there's options for you. And I would say, choose the best option, which is the voice of the Spirit of God that you're going to capture and you're going to hear very loudly when you're in prayer. So think about that for a second. And I want to end by giving you this. The renewing of our minds starts with the redirecting of our thoughts. And as we close tonight, I know that as I'm talking, there are some of you in this room that, man, your prayer for 2024 was, man, I want to be more godly this year. I want to do more ministry this year. In 2024, I want to do more. But here's the good news for you is that as much as you want to do more for God in 2024, God wants to do more in you in 2024. But the way God does more in you is he first starts transforming your life by the renewing of your minds. And I really believe that tonight there's breakthrough for some people here. Because the weapons that we fight with are not like the weapons of this world. The weapons that we have that God has given us demolish strongholds. Let me tell you what a stronghold is as I end. A stronghold is a fortified place. It's a military term. It's a place that has been dug in some trenches. And some of you, the neural pathways in thinking certain kind of ways have dug themselves so deep inside of you, it feels like there's a fortification of a certain way of thinking. And you might be here tonight just going, man, this sounds really good and it preaches really well, but I don't know. I mean, I've had this thing in my life, not just for a year. I've had this thing in my life since childhood. Let me tell you that scripture in 2 Corinthians, it says that the power of God living in you is there to demolish strongholds, to obliterate strongholds. I don't care how fortified, I don't care how deep the trench is, I don't care how deep the groove is. When God gets a hold of your life and fills you with the power of his Holy Spirit, those strongholds are demolished so that you can get your new groove and start following Jesus and start living his way. So I'm going to pray for you right now. And any of you that, man, you're just like, man, I have this stronghold. I just feel it. I mean, this thought process that I have, maybe it's addiction. Maybe it's lust. Maybe it's a thought pattern of rage and anger. You go from 0 to 100 with your rage and anger. That's a thought pattern. That could be, my friend, a stronghold that I believe God is saying, I want to demolish that by stepping up and getting the mic of your mind and speaking loudly so that the enemy of your soul leaves, so that the inner critic of your life doesn't have a platform anymore. Father, I pray in this moment, God, anybody here, Lord, today that is struggling in the space of these patterns that are worldly, these patterns that are ungodly, these patterns that have dug deep inside of our minds, Lord, I pray that your power and your glory would come tonight and demolish those strongholds. Lord, as we are in prayer right now, Holy Spirit, step up to the mic of our minds. Speak to our minds. And I believe in this moment, some of you are hearing the voice of God, maybe for the first time. I love you. My grace is sufficient for you. I have amazing plans for you. There's somebody here tonight, the Lord is speaking to you saying, it's not over. I do my best work in crisis. I make dead things come alive again. Generational curses are being broken because they cannot stand in the power of my presence. Chains are falling off. Patterns are being completely transformed. Holy Spirit, speak to us in this moment. And while everyone is praying, there's some of you in this room, you've never surrendered your life to God. And He's here tonight. And He's saying, if you receive me, then I want to come and not just occupy your mind, but I want to transform your life. The invitation is there for you. Jesus Christ came to this world 2,000 years ago, and out of love from God, He died for you so that you might be forgiven of anything that you might have done that has made you an enemy to God. And I'm sure you have a laundry list as I did too. But He died for you even though you didn't deserve it. But not only did He die for you to forgive you, He resurrected to bring you life and peace. And in His resurrection, He is here tonight to fill you with His Spirit, to anoint you, to live the life He's always called you to live, not when you go to heaven, but while you live right now. There's a newness of life that He wants to place in you through His Spirit living in you. And some of you have never made that decision to give your life to God. Then I want to pray for you right now. If that's you, Lord, I pray, God, you speak to them right now and say, this is what you need. I want to transform your life. And if you feel like this is a message for you and you're ready to surrender your life to Jesus and follow Him, then you right there where you're sitting, just pray this prayer with me. Say, Jesus, tonight I give you my life. Thank you for dying for me, even when I didn't deserve it, to forgive me, but to resurrect, to be alive again so that you could put that life and peace in me. I'm so grateful. Fill me with your Spirit. For today, I belong to you 100%. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, you guys, listen to me. You come up here, you tell one of these guys, hey, I prayed that prayer. You tell somebody that brought you here tonight, say, hey, I prayed that prayer. I mean, they might even treat you to some free Taco Bell tonight, all right? But we love you guys. If you need prayer for whatever other reason, we're up here for you. But we love you. I'll see you next month, and have a great night. Maybe give somebody a hug that's sitting by you. Tell them you're so glad that they sat by you. Have an amazing night, you guys.
Thank you for listening. We pray that this message has ministered to your heart. If you don't already have a church you call home, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We're at 2300 East Brundage Lane in Bakersfield, California, near Mount Vernon and Freeway 58. Reach us by phone at 661-325-2251 or visit our website at vbf.org. Here is our King. Here is our love.